short passage that we read. Peter, in chapter 3, makes reference to the things that Paul said. We read some of the things that Paul said, and perhaps Peter had some of these in mind. There's a great harmony between them, as we read here. So it's 2 Peter, chapter 3, and we'll just read from verse 14 to the end of this letter. And then dwell on this for a little this morning. So 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 14, where he writes, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Peter has the long view, but he also has today's view. If you were to ask most of the people around Noah, back there in Genesis, I'm sure they would have said that they would prefer to die quietly and to feel safe until then. But most of them died in that great flood. A dreadful death. The floods washing over them, nowhere to go. You can want to get somewhere in life, anywhere. You probably do have certain objectives in life. But for many, whatever kind of objectives there are, you might not get there for a variety of reasons. A very summary of these kinds of reasons, in more general terms, you might not start on the right track. Maybe you would like to do something for a career, but if you don't start the right way, you just don't have the entry to get there. Or you might start off fine and then go off the rails somewhere along the line. Or you might be along that path and heading along very devoted and so on, and then you get waylaid or you get distracted or there's an obstacle put in your place. Or for some, you just lose the will or the strength to go on. Well, that applies in so many different aspects of life. It's certainly true in spiritual things. And that is of importance to every single person. Man is a spiritual being, not just physical or even intellectual. I say this because Peter writes this letter to people who had made a start on the right path, the right way of life. But he wrote the letter because they needed to be alerted to a number of things that could prevent them from reaching the end of that path. They'd started, would they finish? And he is concerned at the human level, we might say, he's concerned to establish them, to ensure that they're not thrown off the path. And he adds some remarks here at the conclusion of his letter to help, to add, to guide, and to say how can you combat those obstacles that might be your delay or your distraction or even your destruction. And these things that he sets before the people who he wrote to then, they're still the same for us today. And it's good, it's important that we do think over them again today. It sets the context, it sets the purpose for what we do what we do here, especially what we do here every week, what we do in an extra way with the Lord's Supper today. This is the context, gives us the context for these things. You need to ask yourself, why do I come to church? Why do I profess faith in Christ? Why do I take the Lord's Supper? Why does that man stand up and speak about the Bible every week? I want to think through this, I think, simple story. It's about the path that we're on, the road that you're on. And we need to think, first of all, about starting on the road. We need to also think about getting to the end of the road, because that highlights the importance of not taking wrong roads and the importance of the helps that we are given, the aids to keep us on the road. We could just take the last verse or so and just talk about the helps for the road, but I want to set the story so that we see how important this is. Starting on the road, that's how I'm calling it. The people that Peter wrote to, as he wrote, he understood from the very first verse, in chapter 1, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And then in the following verses, in verse 3, by as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. He's talking about things that have happened. To put them where they are, something has happened. These people have started on something different. They have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. They're not on that old road that they were once in. And it's because of this that he then goes on into verse 10, for example, in chapter 1. Therefore, because of all that, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. You have it. You have that calling. You have been elected. But make it sure. Be diligent yourself. You're on that path. There are things that need to follow. But if you look at those things that Peter had to say there, ask yourself the question, how did they start on this new way? So that you know what the new way is. It tells us that it has, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And there are similar expressions in verse 4, by which have been given to us. And if you highlight the things that mark them out as being on this new road, you realize that this is God's work. It was done to them. It was done for them. They were given. They were called. They were chosen. But there is also that they have escaped. And perhaps that reflects a little more, that it's not just that we sit back and wait for God to take hold of us. There is a personal engagement in this as well. If we take the whole of the gospel message, it is that when Jesus says, believe in me, you receive him. He makes a free offer of himself. He makes a free offer particularly of his own death on the cross to pay for sin. But he needs you to receive him, to believe, to trust in him, to come to me, he said. You do start on this new road by God's mercy and grace, that is his free gifts. But that's by trusting in Jesus. It is as he gives that you receive. As with all gifts, you make it your own. By trusting in what he has given, trusting too that all he has said he will do. primary, first among all of these things. Be beginning on this new road is by trusting in Jesus' giving of himself. There are, he said, two ways. And the difference between this way and all the others is that only this one leads truly to God. You see, God is holy. Sin cannot come anywhere near him, and we cannot get anywhere near him because we are sinners. Let's make it a bold statement. It is as simple as that. That's what God's work is all about. We must know certainly that God is too holy to bear our presence. So what do we do? We need his forgiveness. But how does he give us that forgiveness? Is it by bringing anything to him? One of the versions of what we call the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts. We do have a debt before God. How is that debt to be forgiven? Can we bring anything to pay for it? It's as though you're in debt to the tune of millions of pounds and you say, it'll be all right, God, I have a penny. That's my good works. And it's far from enough. You need to see the logic of that. I cannot, because I am a sinner. Everything I am and everything I do is touched with sin. It will soil everything and it cannot be brought before God. So what do we do then? That's where Jesus comes in. And he did come in. He came as, he is the Son of God, but he came as a man, so that he could die for man. Because death is the payment that is required for sins. But why did he die? He was a man, but he'd never sinned. He was tempted in every way like we are, but he did not sin. The Bible assures us. But he still died. He died for all who will believe in him and his death for them. He gives himself in place of all who will trust in him, who will receive his gift of himself. That's what sets us on this path. Jesus said it is a narrow way, it is a difficult way. But he said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. But it leads to life. This is the way that's worth choosing. All it requires of you is to humble yourself and to receive him. Trust in him. Receive that life that he died to give. Say, Lord, accept his death in my place, please, according to your promises. That's the only way to set out on the road, the path of life, eternal life, Jesus means. And that's where we need to just be aware of getting to the end of the road. It's not just about beginning. You could start and you could be floundering around there at the beginning, and what's the purpose? But if you start on this road, isn't it to get to the end of the road? It must be because you're looking to live with God, this Holy One, to live with him now and always. This world that we live in is what makes it difficult. It will put that to the test. It will test how much you desire what is at the end of that road, the way that leads to life. There, back in chapter 1, when Peter continues, he speaks of gaining an entrance. Because you are diligent, because you make your calling and election sure, he goes on to say in verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about. This is what we must be seeking for. This is the end of the road that he is looking at and that Jesus has opened up for those who trust in him. This is the place of peace as well that he has in mind down in chapter 3 in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. He is talking about that complete picture at the end of the road. When you do come into Christ, we read in Colossians chapter 1 that it was God's pleasure through Jesus by him to reconcile all things to himself. That's about peace, bringing into a relationship of peace, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It is the only way of peace with God, that blood of the cross. But it is about peace even now, that we may be reconciled to God. Yes, it can be a rocky road, many ups and downs perhaps, but we may still come, as Hebrews puts it, in full assurance of faith, with a conscience that is sprinkled, cleansed in the picture of the Old Testament by the blood that has been offered for sin. Peace may begin. It will begin if you trust in Christ. It says, you are justified. You are made right in God's sight under the righteousness of this Jesus. It's because you carry the name of Jesus that God will welcome you and will not let you go. It's a tremendous thing. That's why he won't let you go. No one can take you out of his hand as long as you truly bear the name of Jesus. But what Peter is getting at here is that there is a much greater peace still to come. You can have peace with God even now, but there will still be those times when that is hurt and damaged and shaken. And there are many times when there is little peace around you. But he is saying that if you are diligent, if you look forward to these things, be actively engaged in walking on this way, you will then be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. That only happens at the end. He's been talking about the end in the things that have just gone before this. Don't fall, he was saying in verse 17. Don't fall along the way. Look to the end. The end that is peace, that is glory, as Paul put it in Colossians 1 again. And this peace is about when all things are well, when all things are healthy, when you're prospering in every way, when all relationships are perfectly right. That's the completion of this peace that he has in mind. When all sin is taken away, when you're finally taken from this sinful world, and you can live in that undisturbed peace with God. That's at the end of the road. There is an end to this road, a road that is difficult, but there is an end that is worth reaching, worth pursuing. It's not a simple road, and that's why we must be together, why we must be supporting one another. That's one of the ways that the Lord helps us. We must keep one another alert. That's what Peter is about with the church here. I've been talking about roads. If you do go out and you're a driver, there are different kinds of roads, aren't there? I think most drivers will tell you that they are more alert on the roads where they have to be busy about their driving. A country road, perhaps, or on a busy motorway. But it's the long, empty stretches of highway that can be very dangerous, where you're just sitting straight, carrying on, just moving along the hum of the engine. and you're hardly doing anything. It can be very dangerous. That's why you need someone talking to you, or the radio or something, to keep you awake, keep you alert. It's a great picture of the Christian life, that perhaps especially in our kind of society, where for many people, many Christians, life can seem to be quite comfortable. Unless you're very devoted and find yourself almost putting yourself in the way of those who would resist you, then it becomes rocky. You're more likely to be awake, less likely to run off the road and have an accident. Great picture of the way it is for Christian life. We need to be kept awake. That's what we need to be doing together. That's what I seek to do every week. Many a time I might seem to be saying the same thing over again, but I'm saying, stay awake. That great big blue sign beside the motorway, tiredness can kill. Well, apart from a number of things about that, but you know what they mean. And they keep repeating it. Keep repeating it. Take a break. Wake yourself up. Friends, that's what this is about. That's what I mean earlier by saying this is the context. We must be on this road. But once you've begun, we need help to get to the end. It's worth reaching. We need all kinds of help to make sure we take the right turnings or don't turn at all. We stay there where we should be. And so when you're on that road, you must keep active, keep thinking. When you come to Christ, don't go off alone. Encourage one another. Keep checking the map. Make sure you get there. Make sure you stay on the right road. Peter is saying, be diligent. Keep yourself sharp. Keep attentive. Keep your eye on the end. Full peace with God. Glory in Jesus. Don't take the wrong road. And I speak about this because this is a large part of what Peter is writing about in this chapter. If you just go back, some Bibles will have even little headings that have been inserted, and you'll see in chapter 2 it's about false teachers. People who will say, this is the way, walk in this way, turn this way. Many of us have heard stories of a driver in an area he's not aware of and or familiar with, and he follows these days his sat-nav almost blindly. He doesn't know the area, and he ends up in a farm field or in a river. It's happened. You see pictures now and again. It can be like that if we listen to the wrong people, people who don't know the place, don't know the way. You could end up with a false sense of security. It could lead you anywhere. Be alert, be diligent. That's what Peter is about. He was especially concerned to alert the church of his day to the potential of being led astray. That can happen to someone who will come along and say, well, look, this way looks interesting. People have been doing it for centuries in the church, and many have gone. Or someone might come and say, but look, this way that you're on, it's tough. I can show you a nicer way. John Bunyan had a tremendous picture of that in the old Pilgrim's Progress. Or there can be people who will come along and they'll put major obstacles in your way. Maybe you're eventually weary and you turn and look for an alternative. All I can say now is don't let that happen. Be aware that it can happen very easily. That great picture of John Bunyan was that it looked like a nice path just on the other side of the fence, that walk went along in exactly the same direction. But you know it's happened, I'm sure. You go out for a walk, you might find something like that. And then as they went along and talked together, which seemed to be a good thing, before they knew it, the true path was out of sight. They didn't know where they were. And they caught themselves in a tremendous trap. These were Christian people. Be aware that you can allow yourself to go the wrong way very easily. But be aware too that there is no other way. There is only one way, the truth and the life. That is the Lord Jesus and his cross. There's only one way that leads to life everlasting. And however tough and confusing it may seem to be at times, you stay on that way, you will get to the great end. The end that is truly worth all the struggles. There may be times in life too that it's a bit like being in a forest without any direction, without any help. And apparently, for most people, if you're there, you'll usually end up walking in circles. It seems to go for most people around to the left, apparently. But you'll end up saying, I've seen this before. You need those little markers, don't you? Those little highlights. They may always be the same, that little badge. The oak leaf or the squirrel or whatever it is on the little post. It's almost hidden. Well, there on the tree trunk, it's recognizable. And it keeps you on the path. The big blue signs on the motorway as you speed along. We're heading for. You look out for that sign. You know that you're on the path. You go that way. And so the thing is that if we are to take precautions against taking the wrong road so that we reach the right road, the right end, how thankful we must be that God gives us helps. He gives us those who will take us along. He gives us those things that will keep us true to him. They will keep us on that, yes, difficult path. And this is where I would turn and emphasize and bring it to the head, as it were, this morning. Helps for the road. That's what Peter's great conclusion is. For a number of folk here, when you have either become members or you have professed your faith in Christ, I have passed on and drawn attention particularly to these words. It's about when you begin on that road, it's not just the beginning, that's not the end. It's only the beginning. And from that beginning, how vital it is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter had already done something similar to this early in the chapter, in the book, rather, in the letter. He talked about where they had reached. They had attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. But he then says in verse 5 of chapter 1, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Add these things. There are things you need to keep in your life. You need to be busy about these things. And if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you lack these things, you're short-sighted. You're not looking on. But if you are looking on, you know you need these things. There are things to be exercised in our lives. Down here at the end. The things that are needed if we are to keep true to this precious path. And things which we can be busy about. We should be busy about. It's beyond our capabilities if we are still dead in our sins. But if we are brought to life in Christ through faith in him, he makes these things possible. The road is laid out for us. We must walk it. To do that, we need that strength. We need the guidance to remain on the path. We need motivation to go on when it's hard. God provides all of these things, especially in his Son, Christ. That's why we must have that great grace and knowledge and be growing in these things. Again, the reason for us coming together, that we cultivate, we work, we try to move on. Move one another on. It was Peter who wrote also at one point, or Paul rather, who wrote that there are times when you just seem to be drinking milk like babies and you should be moving on to strong milk. Peter has much the same thing in mind. Be growing. Need more and more. And where do you find these things? Grace is what God gives. Can we do anything to grow in that? Well, let's put it this way. To grow in the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is also a reflection of God's favor towards us. And Noah, again, is a great example of that. Tells us that he found favor in the eyes of God. How can that be except God has been at work in his heart? We also read that God says he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. It is for us to humble our hearts. The more you live from the heart, depending on him, the more grace you will receive from him. Look at it this way. Again, the idea of travel and roads. Apparently, men are very bad for not asking directions, so I believe. But perhaps the more they refuse to ask, or the more they refuse to listen to directions, the less inclined the other person will be to give them. Seems to me there's a picture there. The less inclined you are to receive of God's grace, because you're busy about so many other things, the less he is able to give. But if you constantly come humbly before God, thankfully before God, and say, Lord, I can do nothing without you. I'm useless except you give me grace. He promises he'll give grace upon grace, grace after grace. The moment passes when you needed grace, and you need grace for the next moment, he will give it if you're in Christ, constant in him. With this goes growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know him better. You know him better, he is the light of the world, isn't he? Isn't he the good shepherd, the great guide? You know him, you know the path better. You'll see it more clearly. And you'll see the great benefits more clearly. But regardless of what you find in front of you, you will press on because you know him better. These are all things that are given to us to take us onwards. But I must mention as well that these things, and to bring it down to perhaps things that we get a hold of better, grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. To understand these things in our minds and the things of Jesus, yes. But how do we get these? Is there further help to enable us to lay hold of this grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We have many blessings. We have those markers to keep us on that path. A great marker is one that we will share in today, a profession of faith in Christ. We do it in public. Some places don't. But we do it so that it is carried, much like baptism. For even the children here who have not yet spoken of their faith, their own faith in Christ. You have been baptized. It's a marker. It's something that says God has an interest in you. And I want to keep provoking that. Parents, keep provoking that thought in the minds of your children. God has an interest in them. He has baptized them. Professing faith. When you do it, I can still remember very clearly when I did it. It wasn't in a congregation in public, but it was in a group of elders of the church. I can still remember it. And what a moment it is. And when things are shaky at other times, it's a good thing to take hold of again and say, I've done it. That is me. time with Christ. One of the things. We have the Bible. This is God revealing himself, making his own Son known to us, especially. It is for us to, if we are to grow, it is for us to be in the Word a great deal, to be have it open, to be reflecting on it, meditating on it. And when it is open in church, check everything I say against it. This is what will take you through. But the preaching, the services of church, they are also means of grace, the way that God gives his grace to his people. This coming together to support one another, taking care as you go out for a walk in a group. If you should stumble, if you should hurt yourself, there are others to pick you up, to carry you on. I saw something just last night in our street, which I don't know how to break through it, to be honest, but it's someone living alone, and she found herself in trouble. I don't know how to resolve it. But that loneliness, living alone, without help, doesn't need to be for the believer in all the difficulties of the path that you're on. God gives this means of grace, his own people, to share together. It's so important to lock into church. I have a friend who does Bible tours at the British Museum. If you're interested, tell me and we'll work out a plan. But people are supposed to register for a group to go around with him. But he says that quite often as they're going around and he's speaking, he finds that there are other people sort of just attaching themselves to the group. But it would be very easy for those people, if they lost interest, just to detach themselves, to float off again. But not the group that have registered. They will stick through it, right through to the end. How important it is to link ourselves into the church. There have been so many who have chosen not to do so and have suffered dreadfully. This is a means of God's grace for us. A great means of grace is communion, the Lord's Supper. These symbols of food that show again our need of spiritual strength, that it relies entirely upon Christ Jesus, Christ crucified on the cross. He is our only hope, only strength, only life. This is the road that is taken only if you have this faith in Jesus. It must be back here constantly that you come to be strengthened, to go on, to complete this road. Jesus, the only Savior from your sins. And this is why we do the Lord's Supper from time to time. Let's do that now. Receive this gift that he has given to give grace to us. Let's be very clear. It's not any help to anyone who is still on the other road, that wide road. You must be on this road. It belongs here. It is the means to grow in this grace. You can only grow if you have that spark of life, that seed of life. It's not a routine thing. It's not just because you come to church. And I know that many of you know this because when we do come to the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, we do separate. Especially the young folk, and maybe one or two others, do go to the back, not at the table. There is a difference. We long for the day when that will not be so, when we're all together. But there is a time for that, we trust. It is not a routine thing just because you're at church. If you're not quite ready for it, don't ignore it either. That looking on can be a means of grace, should be a means of grace, that you can receive that God is at work in your heart, your mind as well. And so think it over. Realize what it means. And if you're not on that road yet, aim to set on that road, to be part of this walk of life, this way of life. And so receive Jesus. Receive him as your only hope to enter into the eternal kingdom, everlasting life, the presence of God, glory in Jesus, peace without spot and blameless. Come to God in Christ Jesus. And so let's all be diligent, be busy to grow in grace, in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. God bless his word to each of us today.